radically changed
since your first reading.
After reading that book, mm-hmm. that I had fixed views which have now been changed. That was my introduction.
Yeah.
Before I actually went to talk Sorry. About the book. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That I had fixed views. You know, I mean, you know, in the Facebook, they are talking about when they went there and the things that happened, you know, like.
Right, right.
Yeah, and all those things. And, you know, yeah. And so when you think, you know, when we read the Bible, you know, as we see, we say, oh, miracles
yeah.
were done by this, this, this.
Yeah, yeah. And only one.
And we mm-hmm. think only Christ can do
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read these things, you know, and see that people.
Common.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are doing these things, even these days, mm-hmm. you know. So. My views, my fixed views were altered,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like the second book, when he says they brought a picture of Christ and Buddha and all that, mm-hmm. and they demonstrate, we always think that, you know, I mean, who is talking about miracles? We are thinking, yeah, the miracles happen every day.
And we don't give it credit.
We don't give it credit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening all the time.
Actually, that book will actually show you all these things we're saying are one, and then you appreciate the principles.
Yeah.
The principles.
The principles. I mean, look at, you know, the man who was telling them, you know, on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. See what he was telling them. He said, you people say this, you do this, this. You are just worshipping the man. He said, we know why he came. These are the principles. He said this, this, this. And if you can do this, you can do this, you can do that, if you think, and so on, you know, and as he's just quoting the us and yeah, what the things that were said there, you know.
How do you make, and this is not the right word, but how, through what avenue, channel, direction does the principle function? How do you make the principle work?
Yeah.
Through what does it function? The principle functions through our thought.
That's it.
And we forget that. We think that it doesn't. Now, how do you have, you say, I surround everything with my pure white light of love. What happens when you do that? What happens when you surround your property with your pure white
yeah,
light of
well,
love? Your family, your home, your
well,
business.
Everything is protected. You know,
not protected.
You have white lights of love.
Because if you protect it, you mean there's evil out
that's
there.
That's it, around it. Yeah.
But you surround it with that because then that's its nature.
That's it. Nobody is. I said, why should anybody scratch my car? You know,
that's
I said,
it,
oh,
that's it.
If you park your Mercedes, they'll scratch it. I said, well, why should anybody? It's a beautiful car. Why do you want to scratch it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, they don't like. I said, like has nothing to do with it.
It's not your nature.
He said, yeah, I said, nobody will scratch it. Why does he want to scratch it? You know?
And why would you want to worship your Mercedes?
Yeah. And I told him, I said, if he scratches it, there's a company that covers it anyway. It will only cost sure. me a few hundred. I mean,
yeah.
But I said, no, don't worry about somebody scratching the car.
Yeah.
The car is to carry me. I go and I pack it and I go where I am. I'm not wondering, oh,
yeah.
this person will come and scratch
and
it.
And the more yeah. you put that in your thought,
yeah.
the more likely it's going to happen in
That's it.
Something in your world. Not
yeah.
necessarily your car,
yeah.
but in something in your world.
Yeah.
So you're always saying, I surround with my pure white light of love
yeah.
all the circumstances, all the people,
yeah.
all the conditions. Now, your neighbor, who is a little dubious,
yeah.
you surround him with your pure white
That's
light
it.
Of love.
I don't see what they do. They don't show me what they do. You know, so
no,
what should
you
I?
Surround him with your pure white light of love, and that's his business.
Yes.
What he does in his world is his business. If
True.
He thinks unhappy thoughts, that's
yeah.
his business.
Yeah.
If he thinks happy thoughts, it's his. But in your world,
yeah.
it's what you think.
That's true.
And if you think happy thoughts, that's your business. And all you think are happy thoughts about yourself, your kids, and your world, and Christy too. And
yeah.
she's one of your kids.
Yeah.
But it's wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
Now, your estate is going to be worth about $1 billion by the time you pass on.
Mm.
And so now, you're going to leave a couple of million to Chrissy, and you're going to leave a couple of million to each one of your kids, and then you're going to leave some to your charities and your other programs.
Yes.
And so
no,
your $1 billion will be used up in that way.
Okay.
Now, is that true? Now, I'm being facetious because I want you to play the game with me.
Yeah.
Is that true? And you say, well, now, just a minute. What makes you think it's only going to be $1 billion? You see? Your consciousness is not going to stand still for somebody else's limited attitude of what your worth is.
Right.
What's your worth? Unlimited.
Yeah.
And what are you going to be giving to your grandchildren and your children when you move on? Well, I don't care.
Yeah.
All I know is that my name is Bill Gates, you know.
Yeah.
All I know is that I am independently wealthy. Yeah. That I'm fantastic. I don't count it.
Yeah.
Now, you're not counting your value in your houses that your neighbor wants to buy.
Yeah.
You're just counting, hey, that's a nice house, I like it, and it makes me happy.
Yeah.
And why should I give away something that makes me happy when I don't have to sell it?
Yeah, that's what happened. You know, my black Mercedes, you know, I've had it for nearly 7 or 8 years. You know, my wife bought it, the black one.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, but why do you have 2 Mercedes, you know? Sell this one out.
Why not?
I said, look, when I drive this car, I'm happy inside it. If I sell it, maybe I get £2,000 or £3,000, and the money will go. I said, it gives me pleasure when I do drive it. So why should I sell what gives me pleasure?
Sure.
Oh, you know, you are paying car tax money. I said, yes. That is part of my enjoyment.
Exactly.
I like the car. I've liked the car for years. Why should I sell it? Because there are 2 now. I said, no. Oh, but it's costing a lot of money. I said, but that is the idea.
People could say, yeah. You could say, what is the value of the black Mercedes?
Yeah.
And you say, well,
it's
are you...
not in money.
I cannot put a price on it, because it is happiness. How do you put a price on happiness?
That's it.
How do you put a price on well-being?
Yeah.
You know? And this is what people forget, and we forget sometimes too.
And they don't build it this way anymore. I mean, this new one is full of gadgets, you know? I'm trying to figure out this thing. When I enter this black one, I'm in heaven.
Yeah, you're back home again.
Yeah, because it's so easy to drive, and in response and so on. I said, why should I sell what I like so much?
Right.
No.
Right. Yeah, people say, the new ones are so nice. The seat goes in automatic adjustment.
They are all giving you as much headache to adjust.
But you see, this is happiness that you cannot put a price on.
I told him, I said, but when I enter this car, I'm just in heaven.
Yeah.
The car responds. I mean, there are not so many gadgets to look at, you know. So it's easier to drive.
Sure.
You know, and if I sell, now the value will be about $2,000, and then I can't get the happiness from £3,000 that I get from this car.
Sure. And insured, it paid for it.
Yeah.
What difference does it make? The insurance is on it.
Yeah.
And the license is on it.
Yeah.
No problem.
No. You can't put a price on happiness. You know?
No. We are the masters of our world, and we, by our thought, put all conditions on any area of our life. And that's why we say, I surround with my pure white light of love all my circumstances, all my loved ones, all the people in my world. And that's what you do with your car. She has this old ancient car, you know, I don't know, maybe 2 years old, something like that, but she has this old ancient car that her grandson, that her grandnephew gets into and messes up and climbs all over the place and jumps up and down and springs around. If she sold that car, she'd sell all those memories. She'd sell all that happiness that's in there. And when she looks over at the seat in the back there, and she says, that's where he sits, Evil Bay sits there. And I wonder what Evil Bay is doing now, you know, thinking happy thoughts.
Yeah.
And would any other car bring those memories?
No.
It's not there.
No.
And regardless of how old this car is, it still runs perfect.
Yeah.
It still does everything right.
Yeah.
And she keeps up the payment on the insurance and the license and so forth, and it's all taken care of.
Yeah.
That's hers. And everybody loves to get in it. Everybody wants to pile in her car, regardless of what other cars are available, because there's love there. And that love is by her pure white light of love. She surrounds that car, not to protect it from incidents, just to fill it with that joy that is her heart, which is what her reality is. And I think this is what we want to train ourselves to do continuously.
Yeah.
You've done pretty well on that, but the rest of us, we got a little more work to do on
I
that.
I still have a long way to go myself. I need to walk harder, you know.
You're perfect.
I need to walk harder.
You're perfect. And every time.
Because people who talk to me, my builders and my gardener, they can't understand me, you know, because these people, they work for me, and they see this and say, why do you have all these cars? You know, say, but I'll have a headache if I had all this. I say, yes, you will, but I don't.
Yeah, I am.
I say, I don't, because I get pleasure. He say, but, you know, this one, you are not using it. Just sell it. And I say,
you create them to mind their business.
Well, they are my workers, so I have to humor them. Is this? Their line of thinking is different.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's different. My builder, there's a place I bought a property, it's called Molten Court. And he went and renovated it, you know. I bought it a bit dilapidated and he made it very nice. And I had, so he said, anytime property comes in that area, he would like to buy as an investment. This, we're talking about 2 years ago. This is my builder. And so a property came out there because the agents always show me. When. So I said, look, the property is there. Excuse me, in that apartment, if you want to buy. So, of course, he comes to me and says, how do you do this? How do you get more? I say, no, I can't do that for you. I'm not a financial. I'm not a broker. I'm not anything. I just buy. So, I have people who do that. If I tell you how to do it and it goes wrong, you'll be at my neck. You find out how to do those things. Oh, but you've done it. I say, yes, I did it for myself. Not for anybody else. Mm-hmm. I don't advise people on how to do their things. If you want advice, go to the experts. You know, if people who advise you, I say, if the way it works for you, it will not work for you. So, I think he went to pay and so on. He didn't buy the house, eventually. And of course, he's still working for me. And you see what happened now with this property thing. Oh, you know, I'm happy I didn't buy the house. You know, if this thing happened, when I bought the house, I would have been. You see?
Exactly, you blame you.
Yeah, so you see, I say, you now you see what I told you? Go and find out for yourself. If I had told you to buy and you bought it, and I gave you all the things, you wouldn't know the problems in it. Now you'll be blaming me. I say, you learned a lesson. Agreed, I showed you the house.
Sure.
But I didn't tell you how to buy it or not to buy it. No. I say, what works for me may not work for you. You know? Oh, let me go to your broker. I say, look, my broker is in Sussex. You know, he's many miles away. He comes to see me. And I've been with him for several years. Leave my own broker. Find your own broker. Yes. Because that
he's
is
a big man.
Yeah. Find your broker in Luton and let him advise you. Don't use mine, you know, because you don't know how I get on with mine. Maybe you don't get on very well, but No. When you are telling them, they think you don't want to tell them, you show them. No, but you are actually protecting them or you. If you go and find out how it's done, you'll be satisfied you've done it. And even if you buy the house, you'll be happy that you bought it in your own terms. Now you go and buy it because you saw me buy it and how he worked at it. If he did it, he wouldn't have worked out the same way for him. And he'll say, oh, I followed you and credit crunch. I'm not complaining of credit crunch, you know. Anyway, that's it.
I know. Yes, Chrissy, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You're doing the right thing. You're surrounding your home with the pure light of love. This
yeah.
one here.
Yeah.
And she says, this is a lovely place to live.
Yeah.
It's close to everything she wants
yeah.
and does what she wants to do. Yeah. And it's... She doesn't need to feel secure, but it gives her the feeling of security that it's taken care of and everything is done for her.
Yeah.
You know, and that's nice.
No, it's just wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people say, well, gee, it's so small. You know, you should maybe get the apartment next door and break a wall through here and stuff like that. For what?
Yeah.
For what? You know. You have done more things in this living room than many people have done in their lifetime.
Yes.
You surround it with a pure white light of love, yeah. and it is always that way. Yeah. And you're a master of it that way.
Yes.
It's a good way to have it be, isn't it?
Thank you.
And I think that you, I don't have to say, stay close to this guy, because he is a magic thinker. And his name is Bill Gates.
Yeah, when I only came on holiday, he said, "Oh, you're not going anywhere. You have to work here." That's him.
Mm-hmm. It's a long time ago.
Yeah. And when I was there, I said to my friend, she's pastor, I said to my friend, if I go on holiday and I have an opportunity, I'm not coming back. That's what I said to her. So, when I get, and immediately he said that, "Oh, you're not going anywhere. What are you earning? Is it the money you're going back or whatever?" I said, "Oh." And that's...
You see, people don't know, you see, the way I think, you think of the good, you know, I have been home and come back.
Yeah.
So, what good, all right, the amount of good you can do can be here, or it can be here. It is the general good you can do from where you are. Because people say, "Oh, if I'm there, I will help people." You can help people wherever you are.
It's true.
And when I decided to come back here, and people say, "But you are earning money, you are doing this." I say, "Yes. The problems that come around me, I cannot solve them because they are too pressing. I cannot easily solve them because this one comes, the small amount of money I give them, but if I'm out, I will get more, and then I influence more people." Well, they didn't believe me. You know, when I came back in 80, they said this is it. But now, everybody says I'm lucky. I said, "But where is the luck?" There was no luck. I mean, I put so many graduates. I've trained 5 doctors, you know, not to talk of other people, you know, other graduates, or people who are not related to me, you know.
Yeah.
I built a OB for my compound people, you know, and so many other things. So, all those people, I said, the difference is that I can do things for more people from where I am. It's not where if I was there in Nigeria, yes, you come, I take you to the hospital, and you'll be treated. And so, that's all right. But look at it in the wider view. How many people are being treated by me? Not directly, but by my influence. That's, you know, when people come from, I say, "I want to go back." Say, "Look, there are 140 million people there. Why do you want to go and be 140 million plus one? And there are many here who want to come back. You can influence them by being out here. You can't influence them as much if you are there. This is, and people couldn't understand it. You know, say, "Oh, but you are not patriotic." I said, "What is patriotism? It's by the amount of good that you do to the general people. No, you can help your family, you know." And so that's what I said, "But that is not what is important. By where you are, you want to influence so many people. And if you see the problem here, you can't solve it. You go out and look at it from afar. And then you have the means to solve it." I said, "All right." When I went to Saudi Arabia, what impressed me was, you know, these Filipinos, and Egyptians, they all come there. Yeah, they come and do menial jobs and so on. On payday, you go to the bank, and they are all lining up to send money home. Filipinos, Egyptians, Pakistanis, they work hard. As soon as they are paid, they all go and line up and start sending money home. And this, you know, when Babangida came, Babangida is the only one who saw it. Don't mind all our leaders. Because they used to say, when you come out from Nigeria, they blame you for coming out. And then they stop you from getting a British passport. Then, when now they realize that you can send money home, that's when they changed the naira to be international. Yeah, this is
still learning.
Yeah, Babangida, the leader, he did many things. First of all, he said we can have dual passports, and then the naira was stabilized, so you can send money home. Now, all the people in America, Britain, everywhere in the world have families at home. and they will send money. That is the foreign exchange you want. Don't mind the one that the oil generates. The money that people from here who have relations send home is what increases the foreign exchange. He did it. The other, Obasanjo didn't see it during the first government. It's only Babangida. And if you stop people getting dual passport, what difference does it make if they have 100 passports? They have the Nigerian one. They will always come home. And now people started buying it. Even Virgin, he knows how to trade. He said, if you bring two televisions home to Nigeria, you are not going to take them back. So why not let the people carry more? Instead of 20 kilos, he said, bring 64 kilos.
Yeah.
Because Rawlings in Ghana was the first to see it. When he was ruling Ghana, he said, look, anybody who brings anything home is not going to take it away. Give them more weight to bring home.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how all these companies bought into it. But Babangida is the one who saw it. The others were just playing selfish. Like, oh, why should they have this? Why should they? They opened the way. And all these people send money home to their people. And that is foreign exchange.
Because initially, if you send money, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You have to hide money.
Yeah, you know, they carry money, this. Or, why, if you do it, I mean, Western Union and all this, you send money to every part of Nigeria. And you are sending money in the foreign currency.
That's great.
That's it. People didn't realize it. And when I went to Saudi, my first holiday, I went in June, and by December I had holiday and I went home. And the first thing I noticed was that I just had enough money to spend. I mean, when you go home in those days, you buy this or that for this person.
Right.
But now you go home, and when you convert the money into Naira, and it's so much, and you reach more people. And I started wondering, this is where I was, you know. And all these people come and say, but I don't have money, and I don't have, I'm making excuses. And they are coming now, and I just give out money. That was the first impression, you know, that I made when I went home. That I could solve people's problems without even batting an eye. And over the year, that's what I noticed, that you can, you know, when you change £1 to 250, that 250 is a lot for somebody in Nigeria. You say it's £1, yes. But 250, £2 is 500 naira, and so on. And you change it. It does a lot. You know, it's like the school, you know. I buy uniform for 500 pupils in a school. And you know how much it costs me? Only 200,000, which is less than £1,000. Imagine it. 500 pupils have free uniforms.
Okay.
It costs only less than 1,000 to sew it all.
Beautiful. And a blessing.
I mean, they all go to school. It's not a question, because if you don't have uniform, they drive you home. All that is eliminated. They just go to school. They go to the school and they are given uniform. And they are given pen and they are given pencil. And it costs so little.
Yeah.
The books cost 100,000 naira. And 100,000 naira is less than £400. And this is a whole school and a whole village. You know, so when you think how much good can be done by so little, and you say, why didn't I think of this before?
How many people are doing this like you are doing it?
Not a lot.
Unfortunately.
Not a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds so beneficial, it sounds, so reasonable.
Yeah, it's so simple, you know. Mm-hmm. And I say, it costs so little, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can go out in the shop and I spend £500 on myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you use to a whole village and all the children, they go to school. Their parents are not worried. They are not sent home. They have 100% attendance. And it's so little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's unbelievable. I mean, the exchange, I think it's around 240 now. But when you convert the money to Naira, It does a lot in that place.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, this is the use of the law, use of the principle, and you're using it knowledgeably, and you feel good about it.
Oh, I feel good. I mean, when I go home, or I go to the school, and I see the smiling children and all.
Yeah.
And that's where I school, you know. Mm-hmm. The trees are still there. But I was small.
Yeah, Sibyl took me to these schools, and she took me to the Unity School.
Yes.
And there was a couple thousand children there.
Yes.
They're all in uniform.
Yes.
And they were so proud and so happy.
Yes.
And they were singing to me and talking to me and telling me what they're doing. And it was just a great experience. Yes. And I can see where the uniform does unite them.
It does.
It gives them the feeling of belonging to the group and that education is important.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
And most of the parents, you see, may not be able to afford uniform.
Right. Or desks.
Or the desk, government gives that. Mm-hmm. But the books, you know, you say you don't have a pen, you don't have a pencil. Mm-hmm. And it's so little to solve the problem.
Yeah.
They come the first day, you have books and pens and pencils. So you have no reason. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, my own aim of doing is that when these children grow up, I mean, there are 500 and something, at least 10 will remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That something good was done for them.
That's it. And they will, and they reciprocate. Mm-hmm. That is what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It will work. You know? It will. But even if it doesn't, I feel happy myself.
And you don't say even if it doesn't. You say, I feel happy in myself that I did it, that I participated.
Yeah.
But the moment you say, even if it doesn't.
No, I never doubt that it will work.
Never doubt it.
I never doubt that it works.
That's good.
Because I used to give them example, you know. They say, why do you do all this, you know,
to
your village? I say, is it because you have money? I say, true, I have money. But it's not having, you can have money without doing it.
Yeah.
I say, when I was a child, you know, when I used to go to school, I used to go to secondary school, and I come home and my mother doesn't have enough money for me to go back. And she go to the compound people, you know, they have a common pool where they collect money. They lend it to you with small interest and you pay back. So they used to give the money to my mother to give me to go.
Beautiful.
And my mother will pay back the money.
Beautiful.
So I told them, I said, do you know that you trained me? I told the villagers. They said, how? We didn't give you a scholarship. I said, yes, you did. They said, how? I said, look, I'll explain it to you. You gave me a scholarship many years ago, but you've forgotten. It wasn't the whole village. But my compound people used to collect money and give to my mother. I said, what is that? That is scholarship. That money helped me finish in that school. And if you are talking of my compound people, they are the village people. So you gave me a scholarship. They say, we didn't know. I say, yes, you didn't know, but I'm telling you that that's what you did. So I'm not doing you a favor, actually. I'm just paying you back what you paid me.
You're doing yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm paying my, I'm happy that I'm paying back what you gave to me. So don't think I'm doing you a favor by doing this for you. No.
You're merely fulfilling your responsibility.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I am remembering what was done to me and doing it. And we made it in such a way, we don't want to know whether your father is rich or not.
Mm-hmm.
The uniforms and rules are for everybody. And they are free. You can't buy them in any other school. And we don't want to know what your parents... Don't bring your own uniform. You just use the one that they are given. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it works very well.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, the memories of our childhood where we lived principle, where we demonstrated principle, where we saw principle, and you in your community, where the community got together and provided little bits of money for that they could to help the kids continue their education. And in America and in England here, we don't appreciate how wonderful education is.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying
to take it for granted now.
The kids want to be truant and things like that. Yeah. Oh, what a waste.
Yeah. What a waste.
The privilege of going.
The children feel it's a privilege to go to school. And you see them when they are going, you know, they feel happy.
Now you say that every child in Nigeria respects this education respects this program. Every child in Nigeria realizes that their education is a very sacred trust.
Every child. Yes.
And always say that.
Yeah, always.
Because this is what you and I can share with the rest of the world, that the people in Nigeria delight in their education. They treasure it. And when you go around the world and you see how people sometimes don't treasure their education, you think to yourself, how silly. And we were on the Volga River up in Russia, and as we were going along, we came to the end of the line, and we didn't know how to get back to the Touresta Hotel. And so we spoke to a couple of boys, and they were kind of snooty, you know, but they had learned English from the British in their school. Yes, what do you want, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And then we said, well, how do we get back? And they told us how to get back, but they told us the wrong way. And so we went the way they told us.
Yes.
And in the process, we had some interesting experiences.
Yes.
Going down into the tubes and stuff.
But yes.
What, I mean, they were, they don't know that they made us laugh and that they made us think, boy, you are stinkers, you know. And I mean, we could have had the thought, you are wonderful boys, you are loving and thoughtful and kind.
And you know the correct direction.
Yeah, and if they had just, you know, given us the correct information. Yeah. But we didn't hold a thought against them, but we just thought, well, oh, it's happened. But it is really amazing that we do these things.
Yes.
We don't recognize the treasure that education is, the treasure that sharing of adults, the treasure of having mentors, you know, and having people in our life who are there to guide us into a better level of awareness. It's great. And you've had many of those.
Yeah, I have.
Mm-hmm. And Chrissy, you've had many of
those. But as I said, I'm over, since I met you, I'm now concentrating those things. You know, I saw something that I wrote in 1985. You know, I was telling you about that book, Diagrams for Living.
Yes.
And I wrote something in 1985, and wrote it and put it away. And I saw it sometime, and I found that I achieved those things.
The treasure map.
Treasure mapping. Because I did it as well.
That's it. Treasure mapping. Diagrams for Living. Say treasure mapping. And I wrote so many things. 1985. And I saw it many years later. But I now know that it's the power of thought. Because when I wrote it, I thought about it and left it.
Yes.
You know, which is, you know, like
you
saying,
empowered it.
That's it. It's not like, oh, when you pray for something, just pray and leave it. Let God do this.
That's right.
Let the thing happen. Which I did then. You know, but I mean, the other things I might have said, and then I started saying, oh, will it happen or not? But when I wrote the thing and put it away, put the thought on it, in fact, the cause, and left it.
Yeah.
And after some time, this is materialized. So it's now trying to concentrate the thought. But it's more scientific now. You know, to say, thinking of this and I want it to happen.
Yeah.
And you actually create it, you know. I didn't know I was creating it in that way.
Universal.
No.
Yeah.
I was just doing it, you know, because I read it.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, maybe I didn't believe it even. I wrote it and forgot it.
Yeah.
But
you and millions of others.
Yeah. But now, I can now consider and say, oh, this is what I want. This is what I want done. And put my thought on it. And put it in my consciousness. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of child is your grandchild going to be? I mean, I don't mean going to be, but what kind of person is your grandchild as far as intellect, as far as
he's going to be wonderful.
Books, as far as genius and...
No. He's already a genius, because...
He's already a genius.
No, he is.
Yeah, that's good.
He is. Yeah. He is, because the vibration he gets all the time
is that
just wonderful.
Is that right? You know all about that energy stuff.
No.
He's
getting it.
That's good.
You know, and if you see him, he's just wonderful. He says,
that's good.
Yeah.
Cool.
He is.
Now, do you think that he's got every opportunity to be the magnificent being that he is?
He has.
Yeah. Does he have to have the people of the village come and give money to his education fund? No.
He doesn't need that.
Everything is there.
Yeah.
And you see him accepting it and utilizing it and delighting in it and appreciating it to himself. He doesn't have to say thank you.
No.
But just appreciating by being brilliant and learning it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he have no problem.
Very good. His
future is bright, you know, like orange.
Now, what would happen if your daughter comes along with 17 children?
Well, and no problem.
Great,
they are all covered.
But the thing is, you're not concerned about the state. You're concerned only about you.
Yeah.
If she has 17, then she'll have 17 magic kids.
No.
She'll have 17 geniuses. Yeah. She'll have 17 beautiful beings.
Yeah.
And they will be the richest children in the world. They will be the leaders of the world. They will be the...
No. Their future is bright.
Right. You see, you know that that's the way they are because that's the cause you put in motion.
Yeah.
But... you see her with whatever she feels she can handle, one, two, or three, whatever, you know. But you see her with the children that make her life, give her life another meaning.
Yeah, fulfillment.
Yes. Fulfillment.
Yes.
Now, how do you do that?
By the thought.
Treasure map.
Yeah.
Your treasure map. You gave me a treasure map. You said your daughter's child and children are fabulous, glorious, wonderful.
Yeah.
You said they're the great world leaders. They're the fantastic people. That's your treasure map.
Yeah.
And it's real.
Yeah.
Power of visualization.
Yeah.
I may have kicked you into it, but the thing you were there already.
Yeah.
You didn't say it. Mm. But they're your treasure map.
Yes.
And your treasure map, what do you do? You see it and you let it be.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's done.
Just done, yes.
And you don't even have to say a word to your daughter about it.
Mm.
You just see it. And you treat the children as though they are geniuses.
Yes.
Wonderful. And if the child ever acts in a way that's not a genius way, you just say to the kid, hey, you're fantastic.
Yeah.
You always know what to do.
Yeah.
And treat them always in this positive, dynamic way, surrounding them with your pure white light of love. Mm. And wonderful things happen, right?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad you're you?
I'm glad I'm me.
Yeah.
I like myself.
In every way.
Yeah.
In every way. In every spirit-minded body.
Yeah.
You have the ideal body.
Yeah.
You have the ideal mind. You have the ideal attitudes of consciousness that make you into the magic man that you are, and you've only begun. The adventures that you had were just a sort of an entree to what's to come. And don't try to outguess what's to come, because you can't.
Mm.
Because the magic of what's to come is something that you could never dream for yourself.
Mm.
You could never have dreamed for yourself when you were a little child that you would one day be a gynecologist in Saudi Arabia.
No,
you could never have dreamed that you'd have a lovely home and many homes in Luton. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And you didn't even know where Luton was.
No.
But you see, these are the forecastings, the putting ideas in motion and letting them happen, treasure mapping, so to speak, and letting them happen and not saying specifics about it, just knowing that it's the divine.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, when I came first in 76, 70, before I went home, 79, 80, I was asked to buy a house. And I said, what am I buying a house for? You know, when I said that, okay,
like your son.
I came to qualify to get my qualification, and as soon as I got my qualification, I went home.
Sure.
You know, so when I did come back, I started wondering. I said, but why didn't I buy a home? And all my thoughts were changed now. Of course, the first thing I did was to buy a home there.
Yeah.
You know, and so on. You know, but at the time, my thinking was different. I said, what am I buying a home for? I came to become a gynecologist. Once I do that, I go home. And I did that, and I went home. If I had bought a house then and left it, well, my life might have been easier for me, you know, when I came back. But I just change of thinking and so on.
When people are ready, everything's lost into place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they don't always know it.
Mm-hmm.
But it just happens.
Yeah.
And they're always speaking to the right people who will just give them the boost along the way. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christy does this everywhere she goes in the hospital. Every person she talks to, every person she talks to, they want to know, Christy, what makes you such a super lady? And people to you. People who come into your world and they talk to you and they say, wow, something about that guy who is self-confident and dignified and he knows where he's going. It's so wonderful, you know. You know, you meet a lot of doctors in hospitals and you think to yourself, well, what's wrong with them?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
they are not even happy in what they are doing.
They're just a buck doing it, and they're not happy doing it.
Yeah.
And then they say, I got to work long hours. Well, you don't think hours when you're doing something you love.
No.
My newspaper work and my other work that I've done, I never thought long hours.
Yeah. No, I had a colleague.
No.
I had a colleague, this chap who actually sent me to Saudi Arabia. I worked with him in a hospital in Stevenage. We were registrars there. He is Muslim, I'm Christian, but we're very good friends with our families. And we used to work together with two registrars. The significant thing between us was that we never checked time. You know, when it's 5 o'clock and you are going off and there is an operation to do, we don't say when your neighbor comes, if it's between me and him. Even though it's 5 o'clock, I'm going to do the operation and he will come and let us. So there was no timing. And the people were surprised in the hospital. They said, how come? We've had this registered before. You know, this one said, oh, it's 5 o'clock. I wait till the next person comes. What is wrong with, or what is right with two of you?
What is right?
Yeah, what's,
right.
How come you people don't check the time? You don't say, oh, when he comes, he will do this. When he comes, I'll do that. You just carry on. If he goes after 5, you carry on. After 5, till their colleague comes.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we didn't plan it, but it just worked that way, you know?
Yeah.
We were so harmonious. You didn't know time. Oh, it's 5. The next register will come. No.
Sure.
He just got on with it. When I come, I take over, I got on with it. And that carried on for, you know, till we left that place.
It's super.
Yeah. And I still met my boss, you know, he died 2 years ago. Even when I came back from, we were still good friends. And they said, we've never had registrars like you. Just two of you. We've had them, but we never had people like you who were so harmonious, you know.
But what made you harmonious was not that you loved your work, but you loved yourself.
Yeah.
You were at home with yourself, at peace with yourself, and everything you did was a joy.
That's
not that you loved your work and were compassionate toward your work and felt you had to do it. You did it because that's part of your joy.
Yeah.
But you first, always, just loved yourself. And that's a really terrific thing, yeah. Well, you're a master, all right?
Mm.
I don't care what you say.
He is a role model.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
He's a role model. He shines and people say.
He's a role model?
He's a role model.
To myself.
Do other people follow him? Do other people do what he says?
No, everybody knows him. That's his life.
Everybody likes him.
Everybody.
And they want to know the secret. I say, there is no secret.
Yes, the secret is, I like me.
Yeah, I say, I like myself.
That's
you
the
know?
Secret.
I say, the heart builder, you know? This is used to come from where to walk on my house. They said, I said, look, this house is mine. Just do what I say. Don't worry about any other thing. Oh, you know, the villagers, they interfere. They said, but this thing is not my lawn, you know, my driveway. They said, it's not straight. You know, it should be straight. They were worrying my architect, you know, this stuff from Owerri. So I came home and I said, look, you are the architect. And you know, I pay you to do my job. So just do your job. He said, but this year, Omona, they harassed me. They said this. I said, look, don't worry, I deal with them. So I went there one day and I called them. You know, this Omona. I said, look, this man said you've been bothering him, that this thing is not straight. You should do it this way. I said, look, I want to tell you, I hired an architect all the way from Owerri, and I paid him money to do this job, and he's doing the job. I'm not an architect, so he's doing the job the way I want. You are not an architect. You are not a doctor. You are not anything. Why are you telling him how to do it? If I wanted you to do it, I would have paid you to do it.
That's right.
Leave the man to do his job. you know, oh, this place is, should be wider than the same. Why are you giving an authority and advice? He is the man who knows how wide it should be. You leave him. You see, when I'm building somewhere else, I'll call you to give you advice. Then leave this man alone. But this should be this way. I said, somebody is paid to give this advice. If I want free advice, I would have asked you. Leave the man.
And it would have been worth it, too.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Would been worth
and
it.
When he says, free. Oh, this thing is very nice, you know, we didn't know. I said, that is what I told you. It will be nice. The architect saw it to be nice.
When
it's finished. But you said it should be this way. Oh, we didn't know. I said, that is why I didn't call you. Hey. No, it's very interesting in the village. You know, people, they bring the idea and they say, oh, this thing should be this way. No, they said my main house should face this way. That it should face this way. So they went to the architect and said that they are going to tell me that the building should face this way. It's more majestic. It will look more impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So he talked to me on the phone. I said, look, those people, they are not architects. They are not builders. They are not even bringing money. They are not telling you where the building should face. It's already drawn anyway. So please put the building where it should be. He said, oh, they say it might be. I said, but why are you worried about what they say? The house is mine. So, we finished the long one. It's the house now. So, I said, oh, you said this house should face it. I said, yes. It should be near, the entrance should be near the, you know, it should face here. It should be more impressive. I said, impressive to who? Who is to be impressed? Me or you? Or people, you say people come and say, but I'm not building the house for people. I'm building the house for me.
Sure.
If it's facing wrong, that's all right. It's facing wrong for me. But I'm the one who thinks it's facing right. What the other people think when they come in is not my concern. I don't go to people telling where to put their own house. Oh, we are just trying to help. I said, thank you very much for helping. But leave me to build my house the way I want. When you are building yours, if I come and I want to give advice, you tell me to go away. But I'm being nice. Please leave these people to do the thing that I pay them for in the way. Because they go and obstruct them, you know? They say, we want to talk to him first before you do this thing. You know, that it should be this way. You know, it's my uncle. Hey, very interesting.
Keep it in the family. Beautiful.
It's my uncle. You hear what beautiful. I say.
Yeah. Yeah. We have the opportunity of living by this principle, enjoying the principle, and following the principle, and having miracles happen when we do it.
It just happens all the time.
It's fantastic.
It is.
Well, we're very blessed, I tell you. How are you doing, Precious?
Yeah.
Come do
for lunch.
Yeah, we're blessed to have. Yeah,
okay. I am very, very.
All right, we will enjoy our lunch. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.